Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I still remember 2006 when we came here. It's not like today. Praise the Lord for what He has done.
Amen.
I believe I came when the Lord's table was started or restarted again in April 15 of 2007. It is just such a joy. And today when we see so many from Canada coming here, and we have such a meeting here in Toronto area, it is really the mercy of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I just praise the Lord for what He has done.
Amen.
He is really the victorious one.
Amen.
Oh, He is the resurrected one.
Amen.
Seeing the situation today, you just cannot believe it, that just a few years ago, we were all groaning in our spirit. But praise the Lord for what He has done today.
Amen.
He is the Lord of His recovery.
Amen.
He is going to recover all of us.
Amen.
Until we become the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this morning, the title of the message would be on the vision, the practice, and the building of the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a title. The vision, the practice, and building up of the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, may the Lord really touch us very much regarding this. You know, it seems like the title is sort of known to us, but we should never say that it is very familiar. You know, we need to really turn to the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to us again this morning.
Amen.
Oh, we want the fresh speaking from the Lord.
Amen.
We want Him to really show us His vision and also infuse us with the proper practice so that the church as the body of Christ can be built up.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after. You know, before we go on, I would like to read a few verses. You know, I think these verses are very important in our understanding of this message. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord blessed Israel with some earthly and physical blessing. But praise the Lord today for the church. What He is blessing us are the spiritual and heavenly blessing.
Amen.
Don't you feel blessed this morning?
Amen.
I really feel that the Lord is blessing us.
Amen.
He is blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
And verse 4 says, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world."
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His selection.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His choosing.
Amen.
He chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
Before Him and in love. Praise the Lord, before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The Lord already loved us.
Amen.
That's why He chose us.
Amen.
And then in verse 5, it says, "Predestinating us unto sonship." Predestinating us unto sonship. He chose us by predestinating us. And the reason is He wants to bring us into this full sonship. He predestined us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the good pleasure of the will of our God.
Amen.
He has chosen us, He has predestinated us. You know, His goal is to make us His son, His many sons, so that we can express Him.
Amen.
And then verse 6 said, "To the press." The result of all this is to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He graced us in the Beloved. Okay, as I have shared, You know, the title of this message would be on the vision, the practice, and the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Okay, when we come to this message, we want to speak about first the vision, then we want to talk about the practice, then we would have further fellowship regarding the building. You know, as we said just a while ago, I just hope that the Lord would touch us very much regarding this message. When Broly spoke about this in 1965, I believe it was in LA that he spoke this message. I believe so many of the saints were touched. You know, this is such a revelation. You know, not many people actually hear about the body of Christ. Not many people hear about the vision of the body of Christ, the practice of the body of Christ, and also the building of the body of Christ. But praise the Lord, in the Lord's recovery, He is speaking to this, He's speaking this to us again and again. Oh, don't think that this is something common. This is not something common. This is actually very much the good pleasure of His will. Oh, we need to turn to Him. Even as we are here in this meeting, we want to turn to Him so that He can infuse Himself into us. So that we would have the proper vision and we could have the proper practice and building. You know, when we talk about the vision, there are three main points or three main items regarding this vision. The first item is that the church must have the full sonship. The church must have the full sonship. And secondly, we have to see that through the church, it's through this church, you know, that God's multifarious wisdom is made known to the enemy, the church, to the enemy. The church that's become God's poem, His wise exhibition of all that Christ is. And the third item of His purpose is that God's purpose is to head up all things in Christ, and it is through the church. You know, when we come to these three points, it is good for us to understand these are God's purpose for the church. Amen. You know, God's purpose for the church is not just to have a number of people that come together and have a good time. This is not what He is after. His purpose is to bring us into full sonship so that we can display the multifarious wisdom of God to defeat His enemy. And finally, He wants to use us, the church, you know, the corporate church, you know, as the one that would head up all things universally. You know, I just praise the Lord. So, you know, when we look at these three items, the first thing that we have to see is that the church must have the full sonship. The church must have the full sonship. And then secondly, we need to see that Satan has to be subdued and cast out through the builded church. Amen. And lastly, you know, the whole world, the whole universe is actually waiting for us to be headed up so that the whole universe could be headed up in Christ. So may the Lord really touch us very much regarding this. This is why we are here. This is why we are made. This is why we are created. This is why we are here in the church. Amen. So may the Lord really have mercy on us and cause us to really see what He is after. The first item is to have the divine sonship in full through sanctification for the corporate expression of God. You know, let me repeat that. The first item is to have the divine sonship in full through sanctification for the corporate expression of God. When we talk about sonship, you know, when we talk about sonship, don't think that to be a son is merely to be born of the life of the Father. You know, when we talk about the son or sonship, We talk about the birth, we also talk about the growth, and we also talk about the birthright. When this son is grown up, is able to inherit all the things that the Father has given us, that is to the enjoyment of that birthright, this is what we are talking about when we talk about the sonship. So when we were born, when we were regenerated with a divine life, we are children of God. Amen. But praise the Lord wants to continue to infuse himself into us. He wants to continue to mingle himself into us so that we can grow up into the full son, so that we can be heir. We want to go from children to heirs of all the riches of our God. Praise the Lord. So, you know, when we talk about the sonship, in the New Testament, the sonship includes quite a few things. He said, first of all, when we talk about sonship, we are talking about we are born of God to have God as our life and nature. That's the first thing. Then, you know, we need to grow up with God and are in God, growing up into Christ, the head in all things, growing with the growth of God. Okay, we need to grow. And then thirdly, we must see such growth will bring us into something. Then we will be absolutely mingled with God. Every part of our being will be permeated, saturated, and overlaid with God. And then we will be qualified to inherit all that God is, all that God has, and all that God has purpose. And lastly, when we eventually, this is where we are heading for, we eventually will be absolutely holy and divine.
Amen.
Do you think this is possible?
Amen.
This is possible.
Amen.
The Lord is working us so that we can absolutely be divine and holy. Okay. The Lord chose us. Praise the Lord, He chose us. And He made us His Son. How did He do this? It's done by the sanctifying Spirit. Praise the Lord for the sanctifying Spirit. His sanctification for sonship is still going on today. Don't think that when you receive the Lord came into you, you are sanctified. Yes, that's the first step. But the Lord is still doing it in us today. He is still sanctifying us for the sonship.
Amen.
And so today, we need to cooperate with Him. We need to care for this sanctifying Spirit that is in us.
Amen.
We need to care for His speaking. And we need to also care for His working in us. Yes, He is the sanctifying Spirit, and this sanctifying Spirit has entered into us. Today, He is speaking to us from within, and today, He is working in us. Let's take care of this sanctifying Spirit.
Amen.
Then we must learn to live by the Spirit. Praise the Lord, we can learn by the Spirit, to serve by the Spirit, to act according to the Spirit, and to have our being all together by the Spirit, with the Spirit, and according to the Spirit all day long. Okay, we need to learn how to live by the Spirit. Then we need to continue to grow in the life of Christ with the proper nourishment. How do we get the nourishment? Is by reading the Word of God, by listening to the spiritual speaking, and by coming to the meetings. By coming to the meetings, we want to be nourished by this very God. When we come to Hebrews 2:10 and 11, there we see that this Christ is the captain of our salvation. He has entered into the glory first, so that what He is doing today is to lead us, the many sons, also into glory, so that we can be the corporate expression of God. By saving us organically through his sanctification, he is actually sonizing us. Praise the Lord, he is sonizing us. So when we talk about sanctification, we are actually talking about his sonizing us. He is making us son in full. And one day when we meet him, we will be just like him.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, we'll be just like him.
Amen.
So when we come to Hebrews 2:10, he said that the Lord, as the captain of God's salvation, would lead many sons into glory. Then verse 11 speaks of the one who sanctified and those who are being sanctified. You know, this shows us the sanctification is for nothing else but sonship. That's why in verse 11, he calls us his brothers. We and him all share the same Father. Praise the Lord. Through his death and resurrection, today he is sanctifying us. And this sanctification is actually for sonship. So this brings us into the fuller understanding of, you know, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. If you remember what I just read, you know, 4 is talking about we need to be holy. And then 5 is talking about unto sonship. He chose us to be holy, and he predestinated us unto sonship. So to be holy and to be, you know, so we, from here we can see that this sanctification is actually for the sonship. The divine sanctification for the divine sonship is the center of the divine economy and the central thought of the revelation in the New Testament. Sanctification is the image of God's carry out his eternal economy. Sanctification is the hinge. It's the hinge, okay, where God is carrying out his eternal economy. You know, Bradley also continued to share that this sanctification is actually the holding line of what the Lord is doing in us. So you would say, you know, what is this holding line? Our acceptance and believing were due to this seeking. Okay, this says, you know, our sanctification is the holding line because every step of God's economy in his work with us is to make us holy. Sanctification is the holding line because every step of God's economy in his work with us is to make us holy. Praise the Lord for sanctification. You know, there is so much to talk about this sanctification. First, he came to us as the seeking sanctification, which is the initial sanctification. Then he continued with his redeeming sanctification, which is, you know, carried out to make us positionally sanctified. And then he continued to regenerate us by the regenerating sanctification, which is the beginning of the dispositional sanctification. Then you have the renewing sanctification, which is the continuation of the dispositional sanctification. Then you have the transforming sanctification, which is our daily sanctification, which would actually reconstitute us with the element of Christ metabolically to make us a new constitution as a part of the organic body of Christ. Then you have the conforming sanctification, which you could also call the shaping sanctification. When this life of God comes into us, he is going to shape us into his same image. Just like the life of the pear tree would shape the fruit of the pear into the shape of the pearl. You know, praise the Lord for this shaping sanctification. And lastly, you have the glorifying sanctification, which is the consuming sanctification. and he would redeem our body by transfiguring it to make us Christ's expression in full and glory, so that we would be fully and wholly sanctified in our spirit, soul, and body, to be a consummated incorporation of God's many sons, who are mature in the process trying God as their life, that they may express God as the new Jerusalem. You know, when I was going through this outline, I remember one of the things that Brawley shared. You know, on April 6th of 1997, what he shared there actually, you know, tell us very much regarding what the Lord is doing in us. He said, God proceed step by step to make a chosen one of God, a person who is regenerated, sanctified, renewed, transformed, conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God, and even glorified by God. In this way, we go up. We go up level by level until we reach the highest point where we become the same. There is no more flesh and no more natural being. All are in the spirit, and all are the kingdom of the heavens, and all are beings of the new Jerusalem. This is the highest point. Oh, praise the Lord for what he's doing. Then we come to the second point of God's purpose for the church. And this God's purpose for the church is talking about to subdue God's enemy by displaying his multifarious wisdom through the church. Amen. Praise the Lord, it's through the church. Amen. We have been saved by grace through faith to be God's masterpiece. Can you imagine that we are God's masterpiece? You know, we are his poem. We are his handiwork. We are a work of art so that we can actually express him, express his wisdom, and also express his design. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is the church? The church is God's masterpiece. Amen. So I hope we would all remember this, that we are all God's masterpiece. And we, the church, the masterpiece of God, are an absolutely new item in the universe. Before the church was created, there is no such thing. But praise the Lord, this is also the new invention of God. We were created by God in Christ through regeneration to be his new creation. We could say that God's masterpiece is absolutely new because it is the mingling of God and man. It is the mingling of God and man. The church is his masterpiece. The church is his greatest workmanship, where he worked himself into men for the constitution of men, into oneness with him to produce the church. Amen. Praise the Lord for what he is doing. Amen. Amen. So one day, we will all become the new Jerusalem. So when we see the new Jerusalem, we may extol God for the beauty, wisdom, and design manifested in the marvelous production, which is the church. The new Jerusalem will be God's poem and his masterpiece. So if we go on to 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God. It's of God. You know, it's not of anybody else, but it's of God. Amen. It is of God that we can participate in such a complete and perfect salvation. Oh, we can partake of this complete and perfect salvation. You know, where our entire being, which is our spirit, our soul, and our body, will be organically one with Christ, and that this Christ would be everything to us. Amen. Praise the Lord for what he is doing. Amen. You know, here in this verse, we see that God in Christ become wisdom to us, so both in righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So when we talk about righteousness, it seems like we are talking about the past. You know, in the, when we talk about sanctification, we are talking about the present. When we are talking about redemption, this is the redemption of our body, which would occur in the future. But when we come to this point, we should also recognize that what the Lord is doing is just not for the past or the future. What the Lord is doing is actually for today. Christ is our resurrection. Christ is our sanctification. And Christ is our redemption. But when we talk about this, we should not think that this is just something objective. This is not something objective. This is very much subjective. You know, today we need to continue daily to enjoy this very Christ as our righteousness, as our sanctification, and as our redemption. So when we talk about redemption, we mean that when the Lord came in, first of all, he's going to terminate us. Then secondly, he's going to replace us with Christ. You know, he's going to replace us with Christ. And lastly, he's going to bring us back to himself. Yeah. This is what we have to enjoy today, daily. We want to enjoy this Christ subjectively as our righteousness, as our sanctification, and as our redemption. When we go to Revelation 4:3, we see that there is something there. And this something there is talking about this rainbow around God's throne. And you could say that this rainbow around God's throne signifies Christ becoming wisdom to us from God. Okay? So when you look at the rainbow, there are three primary colors, right? What is it? It's blue, it's red, and it's yellow. You know, from Revelation, we see that this red, this blue, signify the throne of God, which is the sapphire throne. You know, this is the sapphire throne. And this signifies God's righteousness. Then you have the sanctifying fire, you know, which is red. And this actually signifies God's holiness. And you have yellow. You know, if you go to Ezekiel 1, you will see that this is the color of the glowing electrum, which signifies God's glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Christ is wisdom to us from God. And there is an expression here, which is the rainbow, which is the rainbow. When men fell, what happened to men is that we are forbidden to go back to the tree of life. There, God set up a flaming sword and a cherubim to prohibit us from coming back to the tree of life. When we talk about the sword, we are talking about God's righteousness. When we talk about the flame, we are talking about God's holiness. And when we talk about cherubim, we are talking about God's glory. Praise the Lord. Because we have fallen, God's righteousness, holiness, and glory forbid us actually to come back to the Lord. But praise the Lord, we all know that Christ died for us. Praise the Lord, he died for us. And on the cross, he died for us to sanctify, to satisfy all the requirement of God's righteousness, holiness, and glory. But praise the Lord, aside from dying for us, he was also resurrected for us. When he was resurrected for us, he became our righteousness, he became our holiness, and he also became our glory. Praise the Lord for what he has done. So we could say that Christ himself signified by the rainbow of righteousness, holiness, and glory, is the covenant of God given to his people. Given to his people. Praise the Lord. This has been given to us. Amen. And praise the Lord for eternity. As the New Jerusalem, we will be a rainbow to testify as God's multifarious wisdom through us to the whole universe. Amen. The spiritual reality of this rainbow should be manifested in the church today. Amen. Listen to this. We need to allow God to fill us with his presence of righteousness by giving him an opportunity to work in us as the fire of holiness and for his splendor of glory through us. This is what we need today. Okay. Now, if we come to Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, we see that God being made wisdom to us from God, the Christ being made wisdom to us from God as righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and manifesting himself as the multifarious wisdom of God through us in his complete salvation, is also seen in Ephesians 25 and 5:25 to 27. 5:25 is talking about he is our Redeemer. 5:26 is talking about that he is the life-giving Spirit in us. And today, as the life-giving Spirit in us, he is sanctifying us daily. He is bringing us into the full sonship. This is the organic sanctification that we are talking about. And when we come to Ephesians 5:27, we are talking about this Christ being the bridegroom. And he will present the church to himself glorious and without any blemish. Praise the Lord. At that time, we will be totally safe. Even our body would be redeemed. Our body will be transfigured by the life-dispensing glorification of our very Christ. Through the church, God's multifarious wisdom is made known to the rulers and authorities. And because this is made known to the rulers and authorities, the enemy is subdued. If there were not such an evil one in the universe, God's wisdom would not need to be manifested. It is true, all the troubles rendered by Satan, that God has the opportunity to show forth his wisdom. Don't you think that is true? Through all the troubles, God's wisdom can be manifested. Okay, listen to this. Every damage from Satan is a good opportunity for God to display his wisdom. Amen. The more trouble there are, the more opportunity there are to display the Lord's wisdom. Amen. And we need to remember, in the eyes of the Lord, in our experience of living the church life, Satan has already been defeated. Amen. Satan has already been defeated. So there is no need for us to be sorrowful. We should always be happy and praising the Lord, because even a defeat, even a temporary defeat, is a preparation for further victory. So ultimately, the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, is a book of victory. It's a book. It's not a book of defeat, it's a book of victory. You know, lastly, we want to see that God's purpose for the church is to head up all things in Christ. Is to head up all things in Christ. The verse that we really need to concentrate on is Ephesians 1:10. You know, there are so many footnotes in this verse. If you go through those footnotes, you would probably see so much regarding what the Lord is doing today in order for him to head up all things in Christ. Okay, the economy of dispensation that God, according to his desire, plan and purpose in itself is to head up all things in Christ at the fullness of time. This is accomplished through the dispensing of the abundant life supply of the triune God as the life factor into all the members of the church, so that they may rise up from the dead situation and be attached to the body. Okay, the times refer to the ages. The fullness of the times will be when the new heaven and new earth appear after all the dispensation of God in all the ages has been completed. When we talk about dispensation, what we are talking about is the dispensing of God himself into us as his chosen people. We need the element of God with his life and nature to be wrought into our very being. Oh, that is dispensing himself. You know, and we can see from the whole Bible, this has been true. Even in the Old Testament, we can see that God is dispensing himself by faith, according to the Hebrew, into Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Joseph, Moses, and of course, with the Lord Jesus. But this dispensing continues in the New Testament epistles. Okay, I was very touched by this. God's dispensation is even greater than it was at the time of the Apostle Paul. Amen. Don't you think that is wonderful? Amen. Today, he is the sevenfold intensified life-giving spirit. Amen. His dispensing is much greater than even at the time of Paul. So we should not be sorrowful. We should be happy because this is what he is doing. Amen. You know, today in the church, we can enjoy a miniature of this consummate dispensation in the church life. As we enjoy the Spirit as the living water and eat Christ as the tree of life in the church life, we are awaiting the consummate dispensation in which we shall be fully saturated with the triune God. Praise the Lord. With this Christ, with his coming, with this triune God, we have life and we also have light. Like in John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the light was the life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, and in John 8:12, it says, this light is the light of life. This light is the life, is the light of life. Praise the Lord. One day we would see, we would all be in a new Jerusalem where there is no night, no death, no darkness. Instead, there will be life and life, causing everything to rise up and to be in good order. This is his heading up. In the new Jerusalem, as the center of new heaven and new earth, all things will be headed up in Christ. This will be the fulfillment of the heading up of all things in Christ, as spoken in Ephesians 1:10. Praise the Lord for what he is doing. Amen. You know, he is entering into us. He is heading us up so that we as the church will be able to be one with him in the heading up of the whole universe. But for us to be able to accomplish this, we need to grow up into Christ, the head in all things. Amen. We need to grow up into Christ, the head in all things. You know, we talk so much about this growing. You know, one of the things that we need to remember, we as the growing members is also the building members. We grow and we build until we can be, you know, the entity that will head up the whole universe with Christ. So we grow up into the head through acknowledging the authority of the headship of Christ. He is the head of everyone. He is the head of the church, and he is the head of all things. We grow up into the head by allowing Christ, to increase and grow in all the inward parts of our being. And for this, we need to turn to our mingled spirit. That's why in Ephesians, every chapter of Ephesians talk about this mingled spirit. So on one hand, we grow into Christ. And out of this Christ, we have the function. As we grow up into the head in life, our function will come out from the head for the building up of the body. When we allow Christ to be the head in everything, and we grow up into him in all things, we will be supplied with the riches of his life, receiving something from him to transfute into other members of the body. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, we see that we need to prophesy. We don't just receive, we need to prophesy, you know, for the building up of the body of Christ. And if we go to John 7, 37 to 39, on one hand it says we need to drink of him. We need to take him in. But after we take of him, out of our innermost being should flow rivers of living water. So not only us are being nourished and supplied, we actually could supply others, members of the body of Christ. This growth of the body, what is the growth of the body? Actually, we need to see all the bodies, that means all of us, causes the growth of the body of Christ. If you go to Ephesians 4:16, it says that this growth is through every joint of the rich supply, all the particular gifts in the body of Christ. But that's not all. The growth is also through the operation in the ministry of each one part, every member in the body of Christ. So when we talk about growing, we need to, you know, see that it, our growth comes from the gift. Our growth also comes from every part. We all need to participate in the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? The building of the body of Christ is in love and by love. Praise the Lord. It's in love and by love. You know, Ephesians 4:16 ends with in love. Love is the most excellent way to be anything and to do anything for the building up of the body of Christ. And the goal of the book of Ephesians is to bring us into love as God's inner substance so that we may enjoy God as love and enjoy his presence in the sweetness of the divine love and thereby love others as Christ did. This is how we build up the body of Christ so that we can be those with Christ to head up the whole universe. May the Lord have mercy on us.
I'll use the remaining time to fellowship along the line of the practice of the church life in a particular way. And then some fellowship concerning the building up of the church as the body of Christ with particular emphases. God's purpose for the church to have the sonship for his expression, the manifestation of his wisdom to shame the enemy, and the heading up of all things through the dispensing of life and light is carried out by the church life. And by the practice of the church life, meaning it's actual and practical. But when I use the term, the practice of the church life, I have in mind something specific. And I hope you could join me in this emphasis. Amen. And not be preoccupied with previous understandings, however correct they may be. The church life is the corporate expression of Christ through the believers. Amen. The function of the church is to express Christ. This is actually why we were created in the image of God, and why we're being transformed into the same image, the image of the resurrected Christ, from glory to glory. Even we're being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. We all have Christ as the life-giving Spirit in our spirit. The church life is a life in which the Christ in our spirit comes forth to be expressed corporately. That is, in essence, the church life. And the practice of the church life is that practice which enables this to take place. If we come together and there's not the expression of Christ as the Spirit through us, then we remain the church just as Corinth remained the church. But we do not have the church life that is fulfilling God's purpose. Now we need to see that for this kind of church life, certain crucial experiences are necessary. And some might appeal to you at first, and some might not appeal to you at first. But whether they do or don't, they're all crucial, and we're all have the same destiny, and so we will pass through these things. Expression, the expression of Christ, takes place through our soul. The soul, in function, is the organ of expression. Our spirit contacts the Lord, contains the Lord, but it is through our soul that the indwelling Christ is expressed. So I have to tell you something about your soul, either to kind of interpret what's been happening or to indicate what will be happening in the near future. Every part of our soul needs to be subdued, so that the Christ in our spirit may come forth. It's actually the life of the soul which makes it so strong must be subdued. And then as we're being subdued, our soul is being saturated with Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Amen. Doesn't that sound pleasant? Wouldn't you like to end the day today with the sense you got a little more saturation? Amen. With Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Amen. In your soul? Well, these two experiences of being subdued so there's no resistance and of being saturated with Christ as the divine Spirit, as the life-giving Spirit, and as the divine reality, these are necessary, but something else will happen. It happened to Jacob, and it will happen to us. There needs to be whammo, the breaking of the outer man. Why? Because our soul is actually a prison. Now, I say this with affection, not as an indictment. There are hundreds and hundreds of us here. So many prisons. And Christ is the prisoner in the soul. We never intended this. It just happens. He came into our spirit. then we're the master of our being. We're the jailer, we're the warden. And how can the Lord come forth and be expressed if he's imprisoned? So if you have occasion to, if you want to, look at hymn 749, a hymn by Brother Nee on breaking and releasing. We don't want to be a prison, we want to be a home. Then another crucial experience is that the church life is a living in the body of Christ. And this living involves a number of precious things, the most precious of which is divine dispensing. Oh, this matches the saturating. When you have the saturating and the dispensing, you're more able to accept the subduing and even the touch that comes to open the prison of our being. So in Ephesians 4, you have the life of God, the reality in Jesus, and the sealing of the Spirit. Isn't that the triune God? This is dispensing. And what the Lord very much would like to do with us, like all the time, is to dispense himself, add himself to us. As this dispensing is going on, we continue on a journey. And this particular journey we are making together, it's a journey from oneness to oneness. The oneness that we have is the oneness of the Spirit. We have the sealing of the Spirit. That sealing Spirit himself is our oneness. So in our regenerated spirit, we have the oneness of the Spirit. Now we need to arrive at what Paul calls the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. So this is a journey we are on in knowing Christ and knowing the speciality of the faith and learning not to bring in factors that are not of the speciality of the faith. So we are all on this journey. As we're on this journey, we are in a special kind of school. And there's only one course offered in this school. And you can go online or you can look at the catalog. It's very simple. There's only one course. Although it's taught at various levels, the course is called Learning Christ. Learning Christ. Paul speaks of this. He said, you have not so learned Christ. Not learning about Christ. That is what you do at a theological seminary. But learning the person. So what is God's way for us to learn the person? That is for us to be put into the person and simultaneously to be put into his death as a mold and to be conformed to the mold of this death by the power of the Spirit and thereby come to know this person. As we come to know Christ with the divine dispensing, we touch another aspect of the practice of the church life in its crucial experiences. And that is the reality of living in the one new man. And the emphasis here is on the endearing virtues of the God-man Jesus, emphasized by Paul. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love, tenderheartedness. One day in reading Colossians 3, under the Lord's shining, I saw something remarkable. And get ready for this, because this is deep stuff. In Colossians 3, verse 12 comes after verse 11. Okay, no. I know that it takes time to absorb that. Why do I say this in such a lighthearted way? You know, verses 9 and 10 and 11, you have the new man. We've put on the new man, where Christ is all and in all. Then Paul says, put on inward parts. If you put on the new man, you put on inward parts of compassion, kindness, tenderheartedness. Several years ago, and the memory of this is still painful, not on my behalf, but on behalf of the brother from Toronto who called me. And he didn't call to complain, he called to open his heart. And he had been in the lead here. I'm pretty sure he's far gone. But he said, brother, we have had our hide ripped off. He's referring to verbal lashings again and again. And I knew what he was talking about instantly and the nature of it. How utterly contrary to the reality of the new man. Where's the tenderheartedness? Where's the compassion? Where's the lowliness? Where's the meekness? If someone truly does represent God with a divine authority, then where's the meekness? Where's the humility? Where's the love? So these are some of the crucial experiences in the church life, which, I say again, is a life in which we are more and more expressing Christ corporately through our soul, which is being subdued, saturated, okay, broken, but we're receiving the divine dispensing, we're learning Christ, and we're becoming a reproduction of the first God-man in his divinely enriched humanity. To have such virtues in caring for one another. Then this issues in the building up of the church as the body of Christ. And building, I would remind you or mind you, is the corporate expression of the triune God. That's building. The first vision in the whole Bible is a vision of building. Vision of Bethel. The last vision is a vision of building the New Jerusalem. Visions in the Bible are focused on building. Ezekiel was one who saw such a vision of the recovered, rebuilt temple in the millennium. And God instructed him to describe the house in detail to the temple, to the people, that they would be humiliated, that they would be humbled. Measure yourself by this. And the point is, the building, the corporate expression, is the test and the measure of our spirituality. Are we buildable? Are we blendable? Are we experiencing Christ in such a way that we can fit into his corporate expression? Corporate expression requires, number one, a dealing with individualism. And number two, a dealing with self-likeness. Also a dealing with peculiarity and odd things. That when we come together, we express Christ in a corporate way, that's building. Now, how can we have intrinsically before the true and living God such a corporate expression? The key is unveiled in Ephesians chapter 3. There is a little booklet. I think it's entitled The Way to Build the Church. And if you saw that title for the first time, you may think, a method, a technique. Now I'll know how to build up a local church. Well, that's somewhat like buying the big book entitled How to Meet. Read the book on how to meet. You'll read one wonderful message after another. And when you're done, you have no idea how to meet. Yet, somehow within you know how to meet in an intrinsic way. Well, in Ephesians 3, Paul prayed to the Father, according to the riches of his glory, would strengthen us with power through his Spirit into the inner man, so that Christ may make his home in our hearts through faith. Here we have the central work of God. And I would just appeal to you, as your brother, as a slave of God, your brother, I would appeal to you, please consider this and apply this personally. God's central work is to work himself in Christ into your being for the building up of the church as the body of Christ to be his expression. If you would either begin or continue to pray along this line, I assure you, it will greatly enrich your life with the Lord and advance your growth in life. You open your being. Lord, build yourself into me. Then this leads to what we call, we experience the indwelling Christ more and more. We realize that the Christ who is making his home in us is immeasurable. So our heart is enlarged. Paul appealed to the Corinthians, be enlarged. Amen. He said, our heart is open to you. You are constricted. Our heart is enlarged for the body life. By having such a Christ make home in us, then we're rooted and grounded in love, in which love the body builds itself up. So the body is built up through this central work of God, which is a most personal and affectionate matter for all of us. And now as I'm approaching the end in about 6 minutes. Thank the Lord for little clocks that help us keep on schedule. The central thought here in my portion of the sharing is that we would personally experience and enjoy Christ for the church as the body of Christ. If you are in Toronto, then you begin with Toronto. You not only pray personally, Lord, I would experience and enjoy you. You should pray that. But if you would have the view, I'd like you to subdue my soul. I'd like you to saturate my soul. I'd like you to make your home in me for the church. That the church in Toronto would be a Christ-expressing local church. Amen. No one would ever call a co-worker out of a broken heart ever again and say, we've had our hide ripped off. Rather, they could say, how sweet is the church in Toronto. Amen. How much loving kindness, tenderness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. How Christ is increasing inwardly and is expressed outwardly. And then we, based upon chapter 3, see another deep thought is Ephesians 4 follows Ephesians 3. Well, we're getting a lot of deep things in one session here. So in chapter 3, Christ is making his home in our heart. In chapter 4, the body is building itself up by the growth in life. So this is how Christ builds the church, by growing. Look at all the adults in this room. We all began as a single cell. And we end up as an adult human being by the law of life that built up a person through the growth in life. And this is what we urgently need. Amen. And something for which we should pray personally and for the church. Lord, grow in me for the church and pray for the saints. Lord, grow in all of us for the church. Well, how do we grow? We know from Colossians 2:19, the body grows with the growth of God. Well, what does that mean? God himself does not grow. That's impossible. But the growth of God refers to God increasing in us. So here's a precious matter. God wants you to grow, and God will cause you to grow by giving himself to you. Amen. Can you imagine this? God, the triune, wants to give himself to you through the divine dispensing, so that by giving himself to you, he will increase in you. That will be the growth of God in you for the body. What would happen in Toronto, since we're here, if between now, October 12th, 2014, and December 31st, 2015, what would happen if all the saints every day opened to the Lord along this line, oh, beloved Triune God, amen, give yourself to me as life, amen, for the growth and building up of the church. Amen. Then this will be accompanied by mingling of divinity and humanity to make you a God-man, a divinely human being. But one additional matter. The Lord realizes something, that actually only the overcomers will work this out. This doesn't mean there are a group among us right now that can say, I'm the overcomers. No. The overcomers are those who overcome by victorious fighting. They realize the enemy opposes this, so they make a decision. Amen. Lord, you are the overcomer. You are producing overcomers by yourself as a sevenfold intensified spirit. I cannot make myself one. I don't just want to be one. I make the choice. I make this choice. Will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice? Christ is calling. Christ is calling. Listen to his voice. Lord, you are calling. I make the choice. For the sake of the building up of the church as the body of Christ, I choose to be an overcomer. Lord, make me an overcomer, someone who from now to the end of my life, by your empowering grace, will conquer all resistance to your unique goal, the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Amen. So here we are, God's purpose for the church, sonship, manifesting his wisdom to shame the enemy, heading up of all things through the church life as the expression of Christ, through the building up of the body. So my brothers and sisters, let's go on day by day, personally and corporately, opening our being to him, letting him saturate us, letting him subdue us, letting him give himself to us, letting him grow in us, for the building up of the body. Praise the Lord. You know what day it is? You know what day it is in Toronto? Don't say it's the Lord's Day merely. It's the third day.
Amen.
It's Resurrection Day.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're a testimony of the triumph of resurrection life.
Amen.
We are being built up in the resurrection life of Christ.
Amen.
Glory to the triune God.
Amen.